Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello.
Hey.
We are back.
Yo, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you.
How was it?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
It was
everything you thought it would be?
More than more? Anything I thought it would be, for sure.
Did you tell the listeners where you went or no?
I don't think so. I'm comfortable telling now. So I went to St. Bart.
Ooh.
It's not St. Bart's. Americans, I found this out. I know we like to say St. Bart's. It's not. There's no S at the end.
It's like going to Costco's.
Yeah.
Walmart's?
Yeah. It's not. There's no S. But I went to St. Bart and it was amazing.
Yeah?
What was the
highlight?
The people. The people are just... It's a very carefree island. From the moment you touch down, you can tell that no one is worried. No one is stressed. And that's from everyone, from the people who are visiting to the people who live and work there. There is just a stress-free culture, 100%. And they just want to encourage you to chill out and have a good time. Everywhere you go, there is a good time to be had, whatever that means for you. So it could mean a turn up. It could mean relaxing. It could mean great food. It could mean great music. Honestly, everywhere we went in St. Bart, the music was amazing.
That's
everywhere.
Good.
It was a lot of Motown. It's a lot of old school R&B. These French, so St. Bart is a French territory. They speak French. That is their language. It's a lot of French food. But when it comes to their music, it's a lot of Teddy Pendergrass, Stevie Wonder, Janet Jackson, and I mean everywhere we went.
But you also shared you were surprised at the dearth of Black people there.
Yeah, there were none. There were. So if I was on this island for 7 days, I saw less than 10 Black people the entire time. And most of them I saw on my last day.
Mm.
So
we don't work there. We don't live there.
So
we
yes,
don't own any businesses there.
That is the other thing. Your laborers, your wait staff, your private chef, your maid, your landscaper, your pool cleaner, they're all white people. So typically you don't see Black people. In certain respects, you might not see Black people like out enjoying the land, but you'll see them working. Black people are not working here. The Black people that I did see, none of them were working. They were enjoying the land.
Yeah, that's interesting. What was the opinion of St. Bart from the Black people that you saw from the area, like from other, that live in other islands, like St. Martin? Like, what did they think of St. Bart?
So those aren't the people who I saw on the island, right? So the people who I saw on the island were from parts of Africa, like they were visiting from Africa, or Paris. A lot of them were living in Paris and came over. And honestly, it was the universal head nod. Like, we were just so glad to see each other.
Yeah.
One group, as they were leaving the beach club we were at, they just came over and dapped us up. Like, good to see y'all out here. Glad to see we're out here enjoying ourselves. So it was the universal, just good to see you.
All right. So then I got to ask you this one question. Like, one thing that always obsessed me is when I travel, I often find that Black people are poor, like everywhere. Like, not we're only poor, but we are among the poor people when I go places. But it sounds like if you didn't see a lot of Black people, you also didn't see any poor Black people.
I didn't see any poor people, Black or otherwise. I will say that. And so what that means is they value, everyone is living their life. Everyone is living their life amongst each other. So I wouldn't have been able to tell who was poor or who wasn't.
So did they eradicate poverty, you think, in this small island nation?
I don't want to get crazy, right? Like, I don't make this seem like it's utopia or anything like that. I just think the culture of ease, I don't know if poverty exists there. I don't know if you're living on this island in poverty, because I will also say, like, this isn't the place you want to go if you're broke. Be quite clear. Like, we're operating in euros. Everything is more expensive. So, you know, like, your average drink is easily 25 euro, right? Jeez. So that's $30 to $32 in the US dollar. So
I don't want to go now.
This isn't the place you want to go to if you're broke, and it's very hard to get here. Like, you can't stumble on this island. Like, you can't. So I don't think this is the place where poor people go to stay.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, when we left, we took the ferry to St. Martin.
Okay.
And so that was my only exposure to St. Martin. And immediately, the moment we got off the ferry, poverty was right there. Like, right at the ferry.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So
I just always wonder if poverty is an outcome of capitalism or if it's some other phenomenon. You know what I mean? So, like, that's part of my anger is, like, we have built so many countries, and yet we still find ourselves amongst the poorest people in so many of these countries that we built.
Right.
And we've just been disenfranchised from so much.
Right. And so that makes St. Bart's like a mystery.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, like, typically, you know, Black people have built the infrastructure of the island and are left to work it, right? Not to be able to enjoy the land in any capacity. So either they got rid of all the Black people, like, the moment they were done, or I don't know.
If somebody has the inside secrets on St. Bart and what happened to all the Black people, send us a tweet at Momentum Advice. I'm very curious about this.
But I will tell you, again, just being there as one of the very few Black people, and they would call us out. Like, people were like, oh, this is your first time here. And they were asking, because they don't see Black people often. They were extremely welcoming. Like, so glad to have you. We hope you come back. And typically the French, I've spent time in France, I've spent time in Paris, are a bit snobby. They're a little... No, they're just so happy. They're just happy to have a good time. They're happy that you're there to have a good time. They just want to make sure you have the best experience possible, that they offer great service. It was really great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed your birthday, yo. Happy birthday.
Belated. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. And for those who are curious, I definitely had a birthday cake. Like, we know I don't really play about that. If there's anything that I take very seriously, it's birthday cake. I had a birthday cake. It was specially made. It was a pink champagne birthday cake that was actually made with champagne and pink champagne icing.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So we should talk about kids and money today.
Yeah, that's a jump.
Yeah.
We go from champagne to kids and money.
When you mention birthday cake, I think about birthdays.
You think about children?
And I think about kids.
Okay, that's
happy
unique.
Happy birthday to you.
And the children, I guess.
I saw a meme recently that said having a kid is like having a broke friend and thinks you're rich.
So here's the thing, right? I actually had a conversation with one of my friends about these memes, and I am going to share this with the people. So I see these memes, right? I see, and my friends are always posting their kids, and they're like my broke best friend. I absolutely think you should stop doing that.
Okay.
I think everybody should stop calling their children broke, because I do think you are manifesting something that you don't want to happen for your children. Like, I get it. It's funny. Like, they're your broke best friend. They're always spending your money. But I wouldn't speak that over my child for a joke or for a meme. Like, I get it, but I think it's happening a little bit too much. I see a post like this almost at least a couple of times a week on my feed, and my friends like, look at me and my broke best friend. Like, I think that might be manifested. I don't think we should talk about our children like that, especially Black children, because they can be broke. You might be broke. Like, y'all might be broke best friends. Like, but I just don't think it's something that we should do. I think we should stop it. It's not funny to me.
All right. I don't find it funny either, except I do think that kids often are disconnected from money.
Yeah.
And they feel like, I think to me, the way I read the meme, and I definitely appreciate your angle, is that, you know, a kid that doesn't go out into the workforce to bring in money or bring in money in any respect might not have a full appreciation for money, how to get it, the value of it, what it's worth when it comes time to spend. And so it's our duty as adults to make sure the young people in our life have a good, thorough understanding of money.
Right. And so I think that's the parents' responsibility. I also think, are our kids broke, right? Like if you listen to our podcast episode, Trust Fund Baby, like, are they broke? Because to me, if they're broke, that means that you're broke. Are you leaving a legacy for them? Or is there something that they have to inherit, even if they haven't received it? I just don't want us, because we as Black people have been broke or called broke for so long, I don't want us to perpetuate that as a joke in our children who are supposed to be our future.
Okay. So our wealthy...
there we go. Our friends. Trust fund babies. That like that should be this. That should be a better meme. Like me and my trust fund baby.
So teaching the trust fund babies about money.
There we go.
Is that the topic?
And if they don't know about money, that's your fault.
Okay. All right. So it's the summertime. A lot of children are sitting at home. Some are at summer camps. And a lot of kids are thinking about how to spend their parents' money. And so today we should break down a game plan. No matter how old the kids are, no matter if they're your kids, they could be your godchildren. We want to give you a game plan for how to teach them about money.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think this is like a big issue, right? Like this is an issue that turns into something big as we get older. We talk about Generation Zero. We're always giving information to us as adults on how we can better our personal finances or wealth management. And a lot of it is because we never got this information, whether it's as a child or we figured out things a little bit too late in life. And so we've got to right our wrongs. And so, like you said, this episode is about teaching your kids about money. And for a lot of people, they don't know where to start. They don't know when to start, what conversations to have when. We're going to go through all of that. We're going to talk from toddler to adult, young adult anyway, the type of conversations you should be having about money, the type of strategies and activities you should have your children participate in so that they are more equipped to be trust fund babies and have a wealth management portfolio and then not be your broke best friend later in life.
I like it. I like it. The stats show that kids start learning about money as early as 3 years old. And it might take them decades to really, really understand money. So the key is to start early because the kids, they're learning about money whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're intentionally teaching them about money or not.
And I think a lot of people aren't keeping it a buck, right? Like, so if you have a teenage child that just spends money frivolously and has no regard for your money, it might be because they watched you spend your money frivolously. Mm. It might be because they're just modeling after you. You go into Target and burn it down and put it on your credit card. And so why can't I go into the mall and burn it down? Isn't that how money's spent? Isn't that what we do? Because I do think we learn inherently from our parents, whether they're talking to us or not.
I don't know if our listeners are old enough to remember the commercial when he's like, from you, all right? I learned it from watching you.
Exactly.
That was a commercial about weed.
Drugs. Wasn't it drugs?
It was drugs. Yeah, I thought it was weed.
It wasn't weed. It was harder drugs.
I don't know. I think it was about marijuana because I think they were trying to keep it relatively PG, but an important topic. But either way, it was about drugs. It can also be about money.
It is also always about money, more or less. And your children are either mimicking you or they're doing their best to not end up like you. Instead, just have direct conversation with them about what they should be doing and start as early as possible. It's never too early for your children to learn about money.
So there are 7 money lessons that every kid has to learn. And we're going to break down how to teach it to them. But here go the lessons at a very high level. 1, they need to understand how to spend money wisely. 2, they've got to understand how to save. 3, how to invest. And investing is a requirement for building wealth. So they've got to start to understand that investing involves time and opportunity. 4, they need to understand that you've got to earn money throughout your life. And it's got to start early. 5, they've got to understand that money is also for charity and how to make donations and how to be thoughtful with how they spend their time and money. 6, how to borrow responsibly. Because we see a lot of people get in trouble with credit. And then 7, how to protect what they have against risk.
Right. And so those are kind of like the top line themes of the strategies that we're going to go through today by age bracket. Right. So let's start off young. Let's start off with the toddlers. Preschool. Ages 3 to 5. At ages 3 to 5, you should be talking to your children about money because this is when they start to become self-aware. This is when they start to understand the ability to make choices. And this is when children begin to appreciate, I don't know if appreciate is the right word, understand there are consequences, right? Cool. There's right and wrong. Depending on what type of parent you are, the wrong could end up in a switch or, listen, I don't know how y'all were raised. Either way, they understand that there are consequences. And we as adults understand when it comes to money, there are definitely consequences. And so ages 3 to 5 is where we really need to start. And you should start with a piggy bank. I think that's harmless, right? But it's an understanding of what money is. As Alan mentioned, money is to be saved. How to get money. Oftentimes, the money that you put in your piggy bank is money that you get from a Christmas card or maybe your chores or you tooth fairy. That's where the tooth fairy money goes. But start with the piggy bank.
I think it's also important for them to understand coins, like at that age.
Yeah.
Like, just because the nickel is bigger than the dime doesn't mean that it's worth more.
Facts. First of all, I think that's a setup. I think that the government's trying to set us up in with these coin sizes. The quarter should be bigger. I think the nickel should be smaller. The fact that the dime, isn't the dime smaller than the penny? It's confusing.
Yeah.
As a child, for a child, it's confusing. And you might be out here giving people dimes because they're small, not thinking they matter, and saving the nickels and pennies.
I bet money there is some kid, some adult that tricked kids out of money when they were younger.
We got to put a stop to it. Somebody call Biden and do something with the dime.
You got nothing but older siblings. Did they take advantage of you with things like that?
My siblings are so much older that we weren't even in the house together at the same time. Okay. So they were not taking advantage of me when it comes to that.
They would have done it though.
Yeah. But also a piggy bank helps with understanding the ability to buy things, right? So sometimes you should say, well, how much money do you have in your piggy bank? I've got $8. I want a video game that costs $10. You don't have enough yet. Or listen, are you willing to empty out your piggy bank and contribute? I know as a kid for me, once my money went into the piggy bank, it was like super special. I never wanted to spend it after that. If you can get me to spend it before I put it in the piggy bank. But once I put it in the piggy bank, I didn't want no empty ass piggy bank. You want your piggy bank to be heavy and look like something and sound like something.
Okay. All right. So age 3 to 5, also a good time to take your kids on shopping trips. You're probably already taking them anyway, but just talk to them a little bit while they're in the cart. You know, hey, mom and dad got to buy this. Oh, wow, this costs this. They might not fully get it. I understand that. They're 3 to 5 years old. They're still trying to, you know, figure out
their
colors.
They just want the fruit snacks. They just want the fruit snacks and the chips. But I think a really cute game to play with your children at this age when you're going on shopping trips is asking, price is right. You can price is right it. Mm. Which one costs more? Just put two items in front of them and see and let them guess. Like, which one do you think costs more than the other?
I love it. So chores. Chores can start at 3 to 5. Your chores might be so light. As just like, yo,
light
put
chores.
The pillow back on the bed.
Yeah, don't get crazy, okay? Your 5-year-old can't mop the floors, okay? But just light things, putting things back, making sure you clean up your station after you eat. Whatever the case is, but don't get crazy. But start with the chores as an understanding that you have to contribute to life and and time. And maybe there's a reward for your chores. Mm-hmm. You know, that's your decision. But I think you've got to start with them understanding that you have responsibilities.
We talked earlier about the number 4 money lesson that every kid has to learn is that they've got to earn money throughout their life. So starting them out early with chores starts to reinforce this idea that I've got to contribute by doing stuff if I want stuff.
I think that's
even
perfect.
If you're not giving them money.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's a great start for 3 to 5.
Yes.
Right? We got other things. They got to learn how to
ABCs.
Eat.
Gotta get that.
Do all types of things.
Their
go to the
down,
bathroom.
Address maybe.
You know, listen. All those things. But now we're moving on to early childhood, ages 6 to 8.
Okay.
All right. Now we're more self-aware. Right. When you're a 6-year-old, you know what your favorite colors are. You know you don't like that girl at school. You know that you don't like cheese. Like, you're a lot more self-aware. You also start to develop your problem solving skills. Mm-hmm. Right. Because this is when kids start lying. I think it's ages 6 to 8 when kids start lying.
This is when you started lying.
I think this is when I started lying. Right. Because now I understand consequences and I understand which consequences I do and don't like. And so I'm going to start lying. I think this happens around this age. So that's a problem solving skill. I hate to admit it, but not telling the truth is you're trying to solve a problem.
Okay. So be careful at this 6 to 8 age.
Right.
Don't trust these little jokers.
I'm just saying they develop problem solving skills and they also develop more in their decision making, right? Like, I think around 6 to 8, you're asking your children more questions around what they want. Do you like this? Do you want to go hang out with such and such today? You know, do you like this class? Do you like this show? Right. And so being able to have those conversations with them lets you know that you can have more advanced conversations around money. Maybe now is when you break out the allowance.
Did you get allowance?
Man, did I get allowance? Did I?
Okay, when did allowance start for you?
I don't remember not getting allowance, first of all, but I will tell you, I had more allowance than any other kid that I knew. I was balling.
How much did you get?
I should have got robbed as a child.
How much did you get?
I was easily, and please, y'all, don't get on Twitter and talk crazy about me. I understand. No judgment. It worked out well for us, okay? In the Hawkins household. Easily $20 to $50 a week.
What?
$50 bills.
Are you selling weight?
Listen, I should have got robbed. Some kids should have jumped me.
You can't even, how do you spend?
You don't. So
$50
so you
in a
don't,
week?
Right? So if it makes it into the piggy bank, I easily could have some hundreds on me. You could ask me to help you with a bill. Around seven, I could put something on a light bill.
So here's a great money strategy for the 6 to 8 year old, especially the balling ones like what Tiffany was. Don't just give them a piggy bank. That was 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Like that was good for back then. 6 to 8, now you need 3 jars.
Right, you might need a brokerage account if you come from my household.
So here's the strategy on 3 jars. The first jar is labeled saving, right? You put a little word on there, the word saving, so they understand that this is money that's for long-term future consumption. It's not something that we're going to spend on anytime soon. The second jar is for spending. This is for immediate things, like
candy.
So, yeah.
Baseball cards.
Exactly. What else? Come on, give me one more.
I was going to say like hair ties, like stuff for your hair. You want to get your nails done. Nail polish, glitter. When you're a child, you want the glitter nail polish.
It could be for when you go to the gumball machine. You know, them little machines, you put a quarter in, you get the gum or the little plastic thing with the toy inside.
I don't think we're doing that anymore. I think you're showing your age. I think those are gone. I think you got to go like Dave and Buster's or Chuck E. Cheese for those special novelty experiences.
Okay. All right. Well,
what is it? Roblox? Maybe on a Roblox or something?
And then the final jar is for sharing. And that sharing jar can be for maybe buying something for your sibling. It could be for church or your place of worship. It could be for the person that's less fortunate in the street that is out there begging for change to give them a little, you know, a little stash to be able to give away. But it's really important that kids understand, again, that money's not just for spending. It's also for saving, and it's certainly for charity as well.
So parents, I'm not a parent, right? So I'm just going to throw this out there. The third jar should be for y'all, right? Like it's the sharing jar. The gift-giving jar.
Aww.
But come Christmas and your birthday and Valentine's Day, like your kids give you gifts, right? Like I know they draw the picture, they make a cup holder, you know, they make a magnet. But, you know, tell them to put some respect on your gifts and,
and
you get a little song.
That jar.
Say how much.
Sharing jar.
With, you know, if it's a two-parent household. You know, you hold down the other parent. Like, hey, you've got such and such in your sharing jar. You got $20 in your sharing jar. What are we getting mom for her birthday? How much do you want to spend on mom for her birthday?
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying take it and be like, thanks. I'm just saying, like, understanding gift giving, I think, is super important. And understanding that you spend your money on gifts.
I love it.
So we are talking about how to talk to your children about money. They are not your broke best friends.
No.
They are your wealthy best friends if you do it right and if you are having these conversations. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we're talking to our kids about money.
Yes.
Well, specifically y'all's kids.
Yeah, about Tiffany doesn't have
I don't have any children.
Yeah.
But I will never, never. Hey, listeners, never. even for like people who like slide in my DMs, I get guys who slide in my DMs, like, you know, trying to see what's up. if you want children, I'm out. I'm out. Don't slide in my DMs. Children are off the table.
So
deal breaker.
Criteria, so it's
deal breaker.
Over 6'2"?
Right. Because I used to say over 6 feet, and yeah. Then people slide in my DMs and say things like, I'm 6 feet with Tim's on.
Oh.
Right? The fact that you need a qualifier means you're not 6 feet. So let's say 6'2".
Okay, that are not interested in new kids.
Right. So I'm cool if you got kids, right? Like, I'm not a person who's like, oh, you have kids. Within reason. If you have 7 children, if you're Nick Cannon in it out here, like, I can't do anything.
How about baby mama limit? Is there a baby mama limit?
Baby mama limit, I think 2.
2?
Okay. I could do with
up 2.
Up to 2.
Gainfully employed or involved in entrepreneurship?
Yes.
What about trust fund recipient? Is that
come
okay?
on? Sure. Because now
okay? he doesn't
now,
work. He just lives.
He doesn't work.
Just lives on the dividends.
No, nope, that's not gonna work. I need you to go to work. I need you to go to work. And that is
he's balling though.
That's not the point. Like, you don't have no work ethic, so now you're not gonna be able to put forth effort in our relationship.
Yeah, but he's gonna spend time on you.
I don't have that much time. Just I gotta go to work.
Sharing love.
So now the fact that you're sitting at home all day is a problem for me.
He's thinking of poems to write you.
I don't like poetry. So there's that.
All right. So
either way, we are talking to children about money. All right. So we talked about 6 to 8. I also think that's like a cool age to do a little hustle. Maybe it's a lemonade stand. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you're selling cookies. Whatever the case is, it's a good time to start figuring out ways to earn a little income outside of your parents' pocket.
Yeah. And you might do this as like a project. Like, my kid's going to do a lemonade stand, and I'm going to invite my friends over to buy the lemonade.
Right.
It gives them a chance to get a little change in their pockets, but also understand that entrepreneurship is the idea of mixing my effort with an idea, and it produces money on the other end. It can start early. 6 to 8 is not a bad age. I remember when my oldest son was around that age, he was in Cub Scouts, and he didn't have a business, but he was out there hustling for fundraisers.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great thing for young kids to do, is to go out and try to hustle, whether it be Girl Scout cookies. In his case, he was hustling popcorn. He was also outside of the grocery store collecting canned goods to give to the food bank. These are all very good lessons at that age range of 6 to 8.
I also wonder, I was a Girl Scout. I sold Girl Scout cookies. There was 1 year where I sold the most Girl Scout cookies. And I will tell you.
In America or your troop?
In my troop. Okay. In my troop. Ooh. And I will tell you, I was quite discouraged. You know, so like, you're selling Girl Scout cookies to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get little prizes here and there, and you qualify for different prizes the more cookies that you sell. I know this is what it used to be back in the day. I don't know how Girl Scouts get down now. They got Square apps, they're taking credit cards, and, you know, they got websites. But the more cookies you sell, the better rewards you would qualify for.
Okay.
And I remember selling like literally like 600 boxes of cookies.
600?
Word is born.
Over what period of time?
The time from the start to the end. I know now they sell them
like
year round.
3 months?
It was like 2 months.
Lord.
My parents were hustling hard. And I remember my reward was like a branded Girl Scout towel.
What?
Was pissed. Bet you I ain't selling no cookies the next year. I was so angry. Cause it did, to me, the effort didn't match the reward. But I think just getting out there and knowing that money is made outside of the house,
mm-hmm.
I think is a really good lesson to be learned. But now,
hold on.
Okay.
You don't just sell 600 Girl Scout cookies. Like, how many did you sell versus like your parents hook
right.
up?
So let's just be honest. Like, I don't know if anybody sells Girl Scout cookies. Like, it's your parents who sell the Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. My father at the time was a police detective. So, you know, everybody on the police force was ordering cookies. My mother was a supervisor for Frigidaire. She worked at a plant. It's hundreds of people in them plants, right? Like, they were hustling these cookies. I don't think I contributed in any regard when it came to effort. But it shouldn't be that way. I don't think it's that way anymore. Your children should learn how to make a little bit of money outside of the house.
I love it.
Now we're moving on. You're getting older. 9 to 11.
Okay.
This is when kids start to push their boundaries towards independence. Mm-hmm. This is when they start talking back. Okay? This is when, like, they start slamming doors.
So back in the day, this is when kids started getting popped in the mouth.
Well, you were already getting popped.
Right? In the mouth.
But now, yeah, like, this is when, you know, you start talking under your breath when your mother says something you don't like.
We don't endorse popping kids in the mouth.
I do. Way. Tiffany Hawkins does.
Alan
does not. Yeah.
Pop them, but not in the mouth.
Where the problem starts. So
can I tell you my discipline tactic as a parent? So I got my behind whooped all through childhood. And I was like, man, this is very traumatic for me. So I threaten the heck out of my kids.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I only had to spank them maybe one or two times per kid. But the memory of that spanking is so powerful. If I threaten a spanking, they immediately act.
So as a person who does condone popping your children in the mouth, I didn't get popped in the mouth often. I did not get beat often as a child, partially because of my problem-solving abilities. But
you were slick. You got away with stuff.
I just learned fast on just how not to get in trouble. Mm. And so part of it was just not doing the things that would get you in trouble. But part of it was just being smoother about doing the things that get you in trouble. Either way, 9 to 11 is when your children start to push boundaries. They start to try to feel out their independence a little bit. Maybe they used to give you a kiss on the cheek when you would drop them off at school. Now it's like, no, mom. Mm. Like, you know, I want to hang out with my friends more. They start to really desire group acceptance, right? So this is when they want to fit in. This is when they start to feel like, am I a cool kid? Am I not a cool kid? What do I need to do to be a part of the popular crowd? Or just understanding that there is a popular crowd, whether they are a part of it or not. And I think this is where kids are at the height of their curiosity, right? Like, who am I? Who are you? What do I like? What don't I like? They're not little children anymore. And so they're exposed to more things. And so they're curious about the things they're exposed to. So I think this is when you turn things up a notch. I know we talked about maybe getting a little bit of allowance, but now maybe there's an allowance contract, right? And this is more of an understanding, not just, hey, do some chores and I'll throw you some money. Here's your chore list. Here are the things that you're supposed to do. If you don't do them, you don't get any of your money. Or if you do some of them, if you do these, you know, you'll get half of your money. If you do these, you get all of your money. But just an understanding around how money directly ties to the effort that you're putting in and not being so vague.
So let me give some details on my allowance contracts. I did not get allowance when I was growing up, like under any circumstance. But the only time that I got money from my parents that wasn't like them buying me something, them actually handing me over cash, here's my deal. My dad gave me $5 for every A I received. And every A I did not get, I owed him $5. So if I had five classes and I had four A's and one B, I'd get four $5 bills, and then I owed him $5. So I'd walk away with $15, and it cost $20 to get a Nintendo game. So it was really incumbent upon me. If I wanted to get the things I wanted, I needed to aim for all A's. Hardly ever did that, but I definitely made that connection between hard work and effort and money on the other end, which is a very valuable lesson for kids to learn.
So Alan's parents also taught him about debt at an early age, because if you got all B's, you were in the hole.
I was in the hole.
Yeah.
In fact, my little brother, under the same contract.
Don't put him on blast.
My dad had to, another one of my siblings.
Okay,
I've got two
Somebody
brothers.
You know. Don't put him his business out there like that.
Someone I know who had a similar dad, grew up in a similar town.
Okay.
He ended up in so much debt to my to his or her parent that they just had to shut it down after a while.
Yeah.
So know the audience, of course. But like the way I grew up was that allowance wasn't a thing because like you had to do chores just to prove that you belonged in the house. Like you are allowed to stay here free. You get food, you get shelter, you get love and protection. In exchange, you got to contribute something. You got to go to school, you got to get good grades, and you've got to do some cleaning up around the house. So that was how I got an allowance. It just was really tied specifically to my performance in school.
So taking your way of thinking, then this is also the time when you need to start talking to your children about household expenses. Because to your point, right, like if living in this house and being able to enjoy food and light and internet is just my standard compensation and I need to support in various ways, you need to know how much these things cost. Mm. You need to know the value of having consistent Wi-Fi at all times. You need to know what it costs to have energy, which is why people are always yelling to turn my damn lights off. Like, you need to understand how much these things cost or the value of these things so that you can understand when you are contributing around the household, what you're contributing to.
Yeah. How would you start that? Like, I know your parents were really good at showing you bills early. How would you start it? The whole budget or just certain things?
So my father, it's my father specifically. So first of all, I want to say, I think that you probably didn't get allowance because you're a boy. I think girls get allowance probably more than guys do. Mm. I think, I don't know what that's about. Maybe we just want our daughters to understand you don't need these Negroes. I don't know. But I think girls get allowance more than guys. But my parents did start showing me bills early, especially the light bill. and the grocery bill. My parents, whenever we would come back from the grocery store, I would always go to the grocery store. You were never going to the grocery store without me because I know you would not I loved it because that's the only way I'm going to get the snacks that I really want. Mm. You're going to go for the snacks that are on sale 3 for $5 or something like that. Like, I don't want that. If I'm there, I can influence the decisions. And if some new snacks come out, I need to be able to see them first. I need to be exposed to them first. So I always went to the grocery store. Because I wanted to
place an order with your parents.
You can't place no order with your parents.
Bring me back some Doritos, please.
Right. And then you're going to end up with just
Funyuns.
You're going to end up with a nacho tortilla snack. Like, that's not what I wanted. I wanted Doritos. And if some new Doritos came out, I know you're not going to tell me, parent. So I need to be there on site to see what's going on. So I always went to the grocery store. But when we come back from the grocery store, I would always look at the grocery bill. Now, okay. Did I understand everything that was going on? Absolutely not. But that number at the bottom really resonated with me.
Really? Did you start turning the lights out at home?
I didn't start turning the lights out at home, but I did start going into my piggy bank, say they didn't bring back the snacks that I wanted.
Okay.
All right. Or maybe they didn't bring back enough. I would be like, all right, so that's $3.59. I have $3.59 in my piggy bank, or I can get three of these. Or, you know.
Is this when you started sneaking over to the Lily Field?
No, because those prices are different and they don't give you receipts. But this is when I would ask my parent, hey, can you take me to the store tomorrow? And they would be like, for what? I'm like, well, there are some things that I wanted that you didn't get and I have money for them.
Mm.
And my mother wouldn't be so receptive. She'd be like, you're going to eat the food that's in this house. My father, though, he would take me.
Would he let you spend your money or did he...
Here's the tea, right? And I'm only speaking for the daughters. The daughters get away with more. You have a daughter. You have to know that daughters get away with more.
They do.
The fact that I was going, willing to spend my money.
Yeah, that's enough.
You're not going to let me spend my money. Moment, you're going to see how far, you're going to watch me count my change out and put it up on the register like a big girl. You're going to be so proud. And then you're going to go ahead and pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm the same way. Okay. But I will make her pay half. I will make my daughter, my boys too, I'll make them at least pay half.
But showing them the budget, showing them the household expenses, maybe you start to put them on a budget at this point. Because I think by 9 or 11, your children are hanging out outside the household, like they're spending a night at such and such's house, or maybe they're getting pizza or ice cream. And so maybe they're allowed to spend $10 a week or whatever it is, but just putting them on some sort of budget. And then my favorite thing, this is when you open a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you just take them to the bank, talk to them about what a bank account is and get one open in their name.
Yeah, I like it. And that's where one of your jars is now.
Exactly.
At this point. Other things that are good for this 9 to 11 year old, have them meet some of your friends that are entrepreneurs. Even if it's just going to a small business like a convenience store and seeing if you can talk to the owner. Kids need to understand that there's a lot more opportunity out there beyond just going to work a regular job. They could also start a business. They could start a small business right now. They need just exposure. I had a bunch of kids over my house this weekend, and I'm driving the kids over to the skate park. And one of the kids, his whole family, they're artists. Like, they're very disconnected from Wall Street in their household. But the kids were very interested in what I did for a living. Because you talked about that curiosity, but this is a time when their world's getting bigger. So expose your kid to more careers, to more entrepreneurs. Take advantage of that curiosity.
Absolutely. I mean, in our town, we had a Carvel, which was owned by a franchisee, but all of our other ice cream shops were family owned. And my two favorite ice cream shops were family owned. And so you would see the kids working, you would see the parents working. I think those are the type of opportunities where you go and ask questions or take your kids and allow them to ask questions and to meet an entrepreneur and understand what an entrepreneur is.
I love it. So let's talk about the 12 to 14 year olds, the young teens.
So the young teens, 12 to 14. All right.
I've got a household full of these.
Spicy.
Right now.
This is when things get spicy.
My kids are 16, 14, and 12. So
puberty's happening.
Preach to me.
Okay. Growing out of clothes. Now they got style. They got swag.
Voice getting deeper.
Okay. It's all types of new things happening. They're abstract thinking. They start to get more mature in how they think. Now they're developing an identity. You don't understand me, Mom. You don't know who I am.
Okay? I'm a little TJ.
Right.
I'm big TJ.
You don't, you know, whatever it is, right? Like, and again, they're moving more into this group acceptance. They're moving more into like, I'm a part of the cool kids, or I'm a part of the R&B kids. I don't know. I don't know what the groups are now. I'm a part of the TikTok crew, right? Maybe you're a TikToker. Maybe your child's a TikToker at this point.
Or social media in general might be more important to them.
Definitely more important. Or sports, right? Maybe they're an athlete and they're identifying as an athlete.
Or maybe they like the boys or girls that are athletes.
Listen, that too. That's a different type of problem. Or maybe you are like really into science, or you're into computers. Whatever it is, this is when you start to really see your child develop a level of identity that's aligned with something. And that something may very well be the thing that provides them income later in life if they stick with it. So now you start to think about future expenses. This is when you start having conversations about future expenses, whether that's college, right? Whether that's, are there things you want to do this summer? Are you trying to go to camp this summer? If so, this is how much it costs. These are the things that we have to be mindful of. We've got to start planning for, again, for college. Are you going out of state? If you are going out of state, we need to talk about what the differences are. If you plan on staying in state, or if you're open to that, that means you get to live home, potentially, and that saves us some money. But you have to start having these conversations. I know it may seem adult, but it's not, because they are on their way to becoming adults, and you don't want to have these conversations when it's too late.
Also, this notion of allowance, make it a monthly allowance at this point. Weekly allowance, that's easy. You could blow that. You got more money coming on Friday. If it's a monthly allowance, they now have to budget themselves. They now have to think about how I need to make this money last for the entire month.
So what you're saying is, like, the first of the month, I get paid on the first yeah. and the 15th. So now you just get paid on the first. Listen, that's a reality for a lot of us as adults. Like, listen, the first of the month hits, and so you got to pay that rent, all pay all your bills and whatever you have left over.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a fact. It's also a great time to start to expose the kids to the family's borrowing. Show them the mortgage statement or the credit card statement, and just talk to them about debt.
So I will tell you, my parents never talked to me about a mortgage. I think this is something that's super imperative. I would have been blown away if I would have known how much it costs for us to be in our house, like how much money my parents put towards our home. As a kid, it's just like this big ticket item, but you don't know what that really means.
Yeah,
like,
no idea.
You know how much cars cost, right? Like, oh, you know, a fancy car versus a not fancy car. But you don't know that your parents have put up hundreds of thousands of dollars for you to live in this house. And I think they need to see the number. I think they need to know how much the total mortgage is, how much you've paid so far, how much is left, right? I think that's a real conversation for them to understand, again, value of cost of living, for them to start thinking about the type of life they want to live and the type of money they may need to make. And I think it'll just make them appreciate you more as parents.
Absolutely.
So this is when they should start volunteering, right? This is when you should start making them, Alan, you talked about having your kids collect cans for the local food bank. This is when they should actually be going to the local food bank. They should be doing things, volunteering their time just to help out in the community, provide value to the world in a way that doesn't benefit them in any sense, but having an understanding of why charity, sharing, giving matters.
Another important lesson at this age is about their own cyber image and what sorts of information they're giving out on the internet.
Lord.
They need to understand about identity theft and, like, just really the basics of don't tell everybody all your business, because
identity theft. Like, keep your body parts and your curse words and, like, just put your best foot forward on social media. They should definitely have an understanding of that, because they need to know that that will impact them. It might not impact them now in a way that affects their ability to make income later in life, but that does matter now. We have hired people where we looked at their social media first to see what their social media personality was like, and is that something that we want to be attached to? And if not, you don't get the job. So this is the time where you are helping. First of all, follow your kids on social media. Just start there. Let them know. Don't secretly follow them. Let them know, I'm following you. This alone will cause them to just tame it a little bit. Hopefully they won't go create a secret account, but this is when they will know, my parents are watching. I can only do but so much. And then help them figure out what their cyber limits are.
I love it. I love it.
So we've got to come back and we've got to talk about the 15 to 18 year olds and then the 19, the 22 year olds, because these conversations have to continue. They're still your children, you know, as they're growing up, as they're becoming young adults. They're not full adults yet. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
Talking to your kids about money. Now we're 15 to 18.
Okay.
Now they're wilding. Okay. Your kids are wilding at this point. Alan, your kids aren't wilding, but there are parents out here whose kids are wilding at 15 to 18.
Yeah.
I was wilding.
Mine's up. They're on their way.
I was wilding at 15 to 18. I was going to parties out of state.
Really?
Listen, I was out there. I wasn't doing anything crazy.
You were getting smuggled across state lines?
Listen, okay. This is when they really start to concentrate on their relationships. They've got best friends now. They've got friendships that have fallen out. You know, they might have a little boo, bae. You know what I mean? I got a little boyfriend now.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay?
Now, can you say girlfriend?
Boyfriend or girlfriend. They got a little situation going on. They're in these relationships, and these relationships start to really matter to them. They're also really focused on the future. At 15 to 18, these are college. Now you're taking college exams. You're looking at your classes, your GPA. You're writing essays, you're doing all the things, you're trying to figure out where you're going. You know, are you leaving the household? What's happening for you? This is a very, very crucial time, right? And so all the conversations that you've had up until this point are super valuable. But now you've got to really get into the adult conversations.
And by this point, by the way, we kind of glazed over this, but by this point, they should have already had a bank account.
Yep.
You should have talked to them about the bank statements.
Talked to them about investing stocks.
You should have talked to them about how to write a check. They should know how to use their ATM card because now it's time to go get a job.
Right.
We think that it's super important for young people to start working early. And it's because, again, you're creating this idea that in your lifetime, you've got to be able to earn money.
And I will say this, like, let's just add a little bit of a twist onto it because things are different now. You either go get a job or you start up a little company.
I'm good with that.
Right? Like nowadays, kids are doing these startups and maybe they didn't go work at the pizza shop. They've made something on their own.
I see a lot of young people in the sneaker business right now.
Mm.
I know three young people in my life that are selling dope kicks that they've either decorated, for lack of a better word, or curated, like found a pair that it's hard to find.
Right.
And they're trading them on Sneaker X and things like that. But they've got to start to make some money at the age of 15 to 18.
I agree 100%. You also, they need to have a little bit of a portfolio. I know we talked about introducing them into stocks around 12 to 14, but by now they should have some ongoing stocks. They don't have to have tons of money invested, but they should have a little portfolio going on and they should understand what they've put their money in and why. Also, this is the time to start having a conversation about credit score.
Yeah.
I really wish my parents would have talked to me about a credit score, what a credit score even was, what their credit score was,
mm-hmm.
even if it's bad, helping them understand what a bad credit score means versus what a good credit score means, and having a bad credit score, you know, makes life a lot more difficult when you want to buy a car, when you want to buy a house, when you want to do regular things.
Yeah. Kids have no idea.
No clue.
There's a credit score.
No clue.
There's a number attached to how responsible you are.
Mm.
Yeah. Your credit score.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other things that should be talked about in this age range, they might be driving at this point.
Insurance.
You got to talk to them about their auto insurance and that, the idea that how they drive impacts their pockets.
Yeah.
You start getting speeding tickets.
But I think auto insurance is also more about understanding that accidents happen and you need to be prepared for accidents. You need to be prepared. There's something in life called insurance that you have to pay into mm-hmm. monthly so that if something happens, you're covered. Because I remember when I got insurance the first time that I paid for it myself anyway, and I just didn't think it mattered. Like, just give me the lowest, cheapest amount of insurance I can get in and leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Not understanding the real value of what it does and what it really means for me.
I love it. I love it. Other money topics for that 15, 18-year-old, talk to them about their college fund,
man,
at this point. Help them understand early that, look, college costs, and we've saved some.
Right.
But there's this thing called student loans.
Grants.
That we want to try to make sure you minimize. So apply for some grants, apply for some scholarships, but start to get them into, like, have that conversation early so there's no big surprise.
I would like for parents to go this far when it comes to transparency. All right, they've got their top 10 schools. We're going to create a grid. How much each one of your schools costs per semester? How much room and board costs per semester? This is how much I got on it.
Yeah.
Okay? Subtract one number from the other. This is how much short we are. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And it's not to make them want to go to a less expensive school or anything like that. But I think when you have this conversation early, one, you allow kids to pivot. You allow kids to pivot and say, all right, I got to get good grades so that maybe I can get more scholarship money. Or I've got to do better in this area so that it makes it easier on my parents. Or I'm going to go $60,000 in debt for this education. And I know that today up front, right? If your kids are putting their name on the student loans. Whatever the case is, I think this real number conversation has to happen. And I know parents are like, I just want you to go to school. I just want you to graduate from school. I don't want you to worry about these things. I don't want you to talk about these things. But you will not have a responsible adult on graduation day if you don't start to talk about these things.
I love it. I love it.
It's not a burden. It's just a level of understanding that will make them more equipped later on down the line. Because I tell you, I wish my parents would have had this conversation.
I love it.
Next, it's the 19 and 22-year-olds. They might be out your house at this point.
Yeah,
right?
But you're still responsible for them.
Oh, they're still asking for money.
You've got to make sure that these money lessons haven't stopped.
Yeah, they're still asking for money at 19 and 22 years old, but they just might not be under your roof most of the year if they're staying on campus. Maybe they got their own little apartment with their friends. But this is the age where they really have to focus on their responsibilities. All these conversations you've been having up until this point, it is no longer practice. It is not a drill. Like, this is the time where all of these things start to matter. This is also when credit card companies are going to start to approach them without you knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And they might end up signing up for a credit card that you might have to save them from one day, or that ruins their credit score out the gate. This is when they start thinking about life plans, right? 19 to 22, you might, I want to get married one day. I want to have some kids. You just start having these conversations with yourself. Your child is thinking about this at 19 to 22 for sure. And to all these things matter. This is when they should be doing their own independent budgeting. Ask your child, what's your budget?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a budget, Mom. You know, I don't really spend money like that. It ain't really, you know, it's not really that serious. Oh, then let's sit down and figure out what your budget is. Let's figure out how much you spend a month or how much you'd like to spend a month so that we understand what's going on a month-to-month basis.
I also think if it hasn't started yet, by 19 to 22, if they're still in your home, I think you should consider
charging them rent.
Charge them a little rent.
Okay.
Charge them some rent. They need to understand that it costs. Like, one of the biggest challenges that young people have in transitioning to adulthood is that day of reckoning when they finally realize that there's rent and I owe money to this landlord and I've got to pay a car note. Like, that can be depressing if they've not been eased into it. So start charging them rent. I'll tell you my own experience. Maybe you can do something like this. I started paying rent and it was a lot. I paid $500 per month starting at 18, all the way through 22, 23. By the time I got married and moved out of the house, my parents gave me all the money back. And it was like almost $20,000.
That's awesome.
And I never would have saved that amount of money. Now, look, you might not be able to squirrel it away like that, but teach them about money. Maybe save up some portion of it for them in the future.
Or maybe don't, because they eat up all your food and they run up your electricity bill. I think the bigger notion is just understanding the responsibility of living,
yeah,
right? And if you can put the money aside and save for them, that's great. But if you can't, you shouldn't feel bad about that either, because it does cost.
Yeah.
It costs to live. And especially when you got these big ass kids who are eating up all the ice cream and all the chicken in the house and you're buying all the groceries.
Yo, my rent was so high as a 19-year-old. I had to get two jobs just to live at home.
So I will tell you, my rent, and I lived in an apartment with my best friend in downtown Baltimore, was less than the rent that you were paying.
You
know, you could have left. You could have moved out and been living and doing the damn thing. Is all I'm saying.
I was making at that age, I was making maybe $400 a week gross. So I had to work for 3 weeks just to net enough to pay for my rent and just gas for my car. So it teaches responsibility. So we've had a good time today. We've broken down a lot of lessons, a lot of age ranges. We should talk about some technology that you can employ that might help you in this journey of teaching kids about money.
Right, because it's all about the technology age, and our kids love apps and they learn all these different things. As long as it's attached to an iPad or a smartphone, they're going to get it down. And so there are some apps out there that can help you along the way in imparting these tactics, these strategies for all these various ages.
So we're going to go through these really quickly, but we'll tweet the full list so you can go through them on your own. So first is Saving Spree. It is a fun, engaging, educational app with beautiful artwork that really teaches your kids about earning, spending, and saving money. It also goes over things like short-term savings and the risk associated with impulse purchases. Next is Bankaroo.
Bankaroo was inspired by an 11-year-old kid who was looking for a way to just track her pocket money. She was just the money that she earned from her allowance or just the tooth fairy, whatever. She wanted to track how she spent her money. And so Bankaroo is a virtual bank for kids without being tied to an actual bank, but it teaches them about money and its value in a really subtle way.
Finally, there's Credit Stacker. This is an app that was created by a Black woman. And this app is a game that teaches kids about credit. And it uses like a Candy Crush type of look. And it's fun, but while you're playing it, you're learning about taxes and managing credit and real estate and investing and budgeting. And I think it's a dope way to gamify teaching kids about money.
And then if we're taking it old school a little bit, there's some old school games that teach kids about money, like Monopoly. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the game where you can evict somebody, you go bankrupt.
That's when the fight breaks out.
$200 for passing go. That's like a stimulus check. You get a stimulus check every time you pass go. I think Monopoly is a really great game when it comes to buying property, selling property. There's also Life. Do you remember Life, the game of Life?
I remember Chutes and Ladders. I don't know if I was
there
big
was
on Life
out there. Yeah, there was Life out there.
Did you play Life?
So I was going to say it wasn't very popular. It wasn't a very popular thing, but I definitely remember
it. Sounds corny.
It was heavy. It was heavy for kids. It wasn't anything that you really, because it was like you having kids. It was all types of real, it was too heavy, too fast.
Remember on The Cosby Show when Theo had to figure out how he was going to budget himself and they had the fake landlord and all? I guess that's Life.
Sure, the board game version. But again, Monopoly, if for nothing else, maybe it's just Monopoly. Monopoly is a really great way for kids to understand money. Again, buying property, selling property, consequences for spending too much money.
Ending in jail.
Ending up in jail. That's a real one. We should play Monopoly just off the jail aspect.
Yeah.
Now you're stuck in jail. Your friends are out here buying property, getting stimulus checks and everything else right
child
in front of you. You can't do anything.
Up.
You got to work your way out of jail. So Monopoly for that alone, shout out to Monopoly. Is that Hasbro? Shout out to you guys for getting the jail component right. But there's a variety of ways to teach your kids about money. Some of them are more serious conversations. Some of them are just fun. Maybe just spending time with them in your day-to-day budgeting, paying bills, living your life, taking them to work with you. Do they still have you take your child to work day?
I'm sure they do.
Well, now it's at home. It's just like put them on a Zoom. But pre-COVID, taking them to work so they can see how hard you work and how much you have to do in order to be able to afford the life that they're living. But there's a lot. And you should start talking to your kids about money now. It's never too early. Mm-hmm. It's never too late.
Yeah.
Even if you have adult children that are out of the house, they may be married. Have that conversation. If your children are engaged, have that conversation about what it's like being a married person and how to manage your finances. We want them to be better equipped. Hopefully this sparks those conversations. And if it doesn't work for you, maybe you want to share this information with someone else. But until next week, I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.